Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Good morning. Welcome to For Marva with Love. I am your host, Marva Smead, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be glad and rejoice in it. Oh, what a beautiful day it is. Come rain or shine, it is Fabulous Friday, y'all. So welcome. I have a really exciting show planned for you today. Today, we will be speaking to several women entrepreneurs, community leaders, and these ladies are the bomb. These ladies are spreading knowledge and joy and lifting up people in the Black community. And I'm just really excited. My very first guest this morning is going to be Maria McGee Lockhart, and she is better known as the tax expert. So get your pens and your papers out, because we will be diving into what we need to do. If you want to start a business, she's going to be able to help you. If you want to know what the tax implications of having your own business, she will let us know that as well. So I look forward to that. And then also, I'm going to be speaking with my second guest is going to be, I'll just let you know. Okay, so she's my first guest. And my second guest is going to be Joy Campbell. She is the chief executive officer of Guiding Minds Ministry, LLC. And she is a woman who loves the community and loves serving the community. And she's also in ministry as well. So we are going to hear from her about how she is helping people in the community. The second chance initiative, if you've been incarcerated and you need a second chance, she is going to be talking about that as well. And then last but definitely not least, I will be speaking with Paulon Britt. And Mrs. Britt, she is an experienced financial professional and entrepreneur, and driven by teaching Main Street individuals Wall Street concept. She takes pride in providing the best resources available for everyone to achieve financial success. And you know what? We all say that. We all, don't we? We all say we want financial success. How can we do it? Well, a lot of us were not ever taught it, period. So by the time we got grown and got out there, we were flying by basically the seat of our pants and did not know. So Mrs. Britt is going to be talking to us about that. And she's going to actually show us how to create generational wealth. And that is in the Bible. So these ladies I've just described to you are powerhouses, bosses in their own right. And so I can't wait to talk about that today. So now we will get back to just a few things this morning in breaking news, man. Okay, so oh my God, my brain just absolutely died. So in this country has been changing. The United States population is getting more diverse. According to data from the 2020 census that offers a once-in-a-decade look at the makeup of America. So over the last 10 years, people have been identified as, who have been identified as Hispanic or Asian or more than one race accounted for in larger shares of the population, the data shows. So diversity is rising in most every country. The overall U.S. population, though, grew at the slowest rate in nearly a century. So in the last 10 years, it's not been growing. So now, William Fry, he is a demographer at the Brookings Institute. He described the data as a pivotal moment for this country. Now, what this all really means to us, I guess this is what it boils down to. The growth that did occur since 2010, an increase of about 23 million people was made up entirely of people who identified as Asian, Hispanic, Black, or more than one race. So with that being said, white Caucasians are becoming the minority in this country. So the bigger minority, in fact, the largest minority in this country. So we will just keep thinking about that and see how this is going to change our country, and is this diversity really going to be possible? And so we will begin to see more people that look like us, Black and brown people. Wow. Now, the next thing is there's been some breaking news on from the FDA. They have authorized third doses of Pfizer BioNTech and Moderna's COVID-19 vaccines for some people with weakened immunity systems. The authorization in the form of updates to the existing emergency use authorizations for the two vaccines applies to people who have received solid organ implants and others with similarly compromised immune systems. This is what the FDA said. That's like, you know, maybe they're getting some chemotherapy or they have some other autoimmune diseases that are keeping their immune systems very low. So that's a good thing. Now, I visited my doctor yesterday, and of course, I got a pretty good report, but I asked her about that third dose and did I need to have that third dose? And so she was like, no. And it's not even offered right now to the full population. It's just been authorized for people who have weakened immune systems. And she said, but yes, I think that we will end up with it for the entire population down the road a little bit. So that was good to know. And the vaccine is still standing steady, and it is keeping people from being extremely sick, ending up in the hospital and dying. And so with this new Delta variant that is going on with us in this country, the people that are getting sick and that are dying, and because the hospital beds are getting far more crowded, almost to full capacity, is because these people have not been vaccinated. So that also, vaccinations are going up since the last month. I talked with someone out of Houston yesterday. She's a principal at a elementary school. And she actually took my mother to get her vaccine. And that was at the early part of August. So my mom is not due for her second vaccine until the first of, uh, of September. And so she said, but things have changed. It was pretty simple for her to take her over to the Walgreens. The paperwork was very quick and easy to fill out. She got registered. She got the shot immediately. And, you know, so she said, now in September, you're not going to be able to just walk in. You're going to have to make appointments. So be kind of thoughtful of that. If you are someone who has only had one shot and it's been a month ago, make sure that you go back to the same place that you got the shot and make sure you have an appointment to get in, because people getting vaccinations, those numbers are rising. They are steadily rising because we have what? School. We've got back to school. So many school districts in Texas has added a mask mandate, meaning the students that come to class have to have a mask on and the teachers have to have a mask on. Some school districts, they're allowing virtual learning for the first 9 weeks. And then in other school districts, they're just going. They're just going. And so I think we have what we see is nervousness on a lot of people's mind. You know, they're kind of having a little bit of anxiety about this, especially those parents that are that have children that are under the age of 12. So those parents, they know that their children are not old enough to be vaccinated, and whether they will, the FDA will approve that, whether that's coming, we don't know. But what we do know is that the mask is going to do what it does, and it's going to protect those children. So, you know, and there's two sides of that coin. We know that, right? We know that there's people who absolutely agree with that, and then there's people who don't agree at all with that. So with that said, we're going to move on. We're going to come back and revisit that. We're going to talk about that again. So if you have any thoughts on that or questions on that, please put it in the chat and we can talk about that. Now, my guest has arrived, but let me just give you, a snippet of who this woman is. Now, my introduction, meet our CEO, Maria McGee Lockett, the tax expert, business entrepreneur, accountant, dynamic woman of God. She has served in the field of business over 25 years as an office manager, legal secretary, paralegal, administrative assistant, sales manager, campaign director for nonprofit organizations, fundraiser, and with over 4 million goal expected and raised. So this is a boss lady. So I would like to introduce you to our guest today, Mrs. Maria McGee Lockett. Well, hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. Thank you for joining the show today, Mrs. Lockett. Do you mind if I call you Maria?
Oh, no, please. That's okay. My name.
Okay. So, Maria, tell us a little bit about yourself. I have, stated some really important things about what you do. You're known as a tax expert. So give us a little background.
Okay, thank you. And so I really just want to give it back to you, Marva. I thank God that you invited me, you along with Cheryl Smith, invited me to be on your show. You have a wonderful platform. And I'm just very appreciative, and I give all the honor and glory to God as well, because he is the author and finisher of me, Maria McGee Lockett. So I was blessed about November of 1988, which is probably further or longer than some people are even here, before many were born. God blessed me with a business. And at the time, he gave me the name Hughes Networking. And I had no idea what networking meant in 1988. I was a mother, a wife, having children, and I had no idea, but I wrote it all down. And I began to do it. And I started basically with tax preparation. It was a gift. I have a gift of this detail. Also, I'm an accountant. So with that background, but I started just doing them for a penny. I didn't charge a lot of money. And my husband finally said, well, you know, you're doing this for people, and this is a good thing that you're doing. This is a job. So you should charge more than what you're charging. So I did. I went and got my certification in tax preparation so that I would be able. I didn't want to charge someone and I wasn't, you know, certified. So I did that. And I began with my business, and that's been over 33 years ago. And it's just been a blessing. I started out in my home, and God blessed me in the midst of a pandemic with a beautiful office. I'm here now. I'm here for Edison. It's like three different rooms, and I have a front office, a back office, a break room, a restroom. It's just all very, very nice. But right after, probably about 5 months after I was blessed with it, the pandemic happened. And I didn't have to shut it totally down, but I shut it down for a little while. I just didn't do face-to-face. But I do tax preparation. I also have a tax school where the tax school, I have had one graduating class. And the graduating class, they learn how to prepare taxes professionally, as well as they are certified to have their own tax business. And my request, in conjunction with Texas Workforce Commission, is that those individuals work with me the first year, and then they're let loose to go at it and do. They work with me the first year so I can kind of coach them. I'm there to make sure that they don't make any, of course, mistakes, because there are many, many people that prefer tax. And so many people I have found, they have a lot of mistakes. So you have to be very careful. You have to be particular and enjoy working with detail. Enjoy doing paperwork. My husband says, I'm surrounded by paper. I'm also a retired teacher, 24 years in the classroom. So this is really interesting that they have to have the mask all day, which is very difficult. The vaccination, which I've had that. I wanted to do that because I'm also a grandmother and a caregiver for my mom. Of course, I wanted to make sure I was safe. And I take tests periodically to make sure, you know, if I was in the classroom, I would probably take it every week, as long as there are free tests available. I think that people that are in the public eye, I heard you saying a little bit about that, but I do think that they should do that test, vaccinated or not. But that's what I do, the tax preparation for businesses, for individuals. I have lots of small business owners, as well as some big corporations, LLCs, things like that. But just working with individuals, I don't charge an arm and a leg.
Mm-hmm.
I even do have a special pricing for senior citizens, those that are in the aging community. I'm a senior citizen now. So I definitely, you know, we all need a break. And I definitely would not overprice or overcharge someone who's on a fixed income, retired. And I don't believe in overpricing anyway. So many people do. People come to me and say, well, I paid $600, I paid $800, I paid $1,000. And I look at them, I say, please don't ever do that again. It's not that expensive to get your taxes prepared. You just have to get someone that cares. So that's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I also started a year ago working with credit repairs, so we do that if someone needs it. We do that through United Credit Education, which is now United Wealth Educators. So we do that through them.
All right, so let's break down a lot of that you have. It was a lot. Okay, so as a businesswoman, and when you started your tax service, you were like, well, I'm just gonna do these taxes. I'm really good at it, and my clients are gonna love me. So when did you realize that, you know what, I need to really be charging? I think what we do when we start a business, something we love doing. See, I think that's what gets us, right? Something that we love doing, and what we love doing, and we're like, oh, I'm going to do it, you know, because it's fun to you. It's gratifying to you. But then what happened, and you just said, you know what? Then people are going to have to start to pay me. I'm not going to be absorbent. I'm going to be competitive in the market. And in order to do that, you had to raise your prices. So how did you get there?
Well, I think my customers did. I know they did because many of them said, they called me mama, some of them said, well, you know, mama, you should, and it wasn't my children, you should charge more. You're doing all this work and you really, you know, you need to go up on your prices. You're not doing, it's not going to benefit you. You're spending money. Of course, you're printing. I like hard copies, so you're printing documents. You're giving people copies. You put them in a nice folder and everything, or on an envelope, and you should definitely charge more. So, and you know what you're doing. So I think probably within the first, maybe 5 years, the first 5 years, I probably, you know, I was less than $100, probably less than 50. I remember being $50. I remember being $75. Then I think my customer said, you got to at least charge $100. And then next thing I know, I was $150, and a little bit more, not much more than that. But just knowing that you're doing a good job, knowing that you've had success, and as my clientele grew, it required me to also have some help. So definitely you have to go up because, you know, now I have a building. So you definitely have to go up to take care of expenses. And guess what? The IRS even told me, I was audited and I sat with them a couple of weeks and they said, look, and I think this was like maybe 2011, 2010. They said, you're doing, I love your work. We want you to come work for us. We wish you could if you want to. And they enjoyed it and they said, you got to go up on your price because they saw my price list, they saw my book, and they said, you got to go up because if you don't go up in business, it's a hobby.
Right. Let's unpack that. That is true. That is a really true statement. If you're not charging competitive prices in the market, then it is a hobby. And then if it's a hobby, then you're gonna sometimes end up giving it away and not making anything on it. So you're right about that. But you are loved by the IRS. So with that, most people are afraid of the IRS. We don't even want to talk about it. When you bring that up, the only time we want to talk about it is 2 weeks before April 15th. You know, so what really makes you stand out and be different to get there?
I think honesty and integrity. I believe, and we're not going to even say the fact that I pray for my customers because I do. But I believe if you're honest and you tell the truth and you let them know what they need to do and what they need to stop doing, because most people need to keep better records. Of course, we all do. Get a little bit more organized. And we need to stop overspending or stop living beyond our means and all those types of things. But I try to be honest, and I tell people what I need from them. And when they come to me with, I haven't found my taxes in 6 years, and I don't even know where my stuff is, you know, I have to look at them in the eye and say, hey, we've got to do better than this. This is your responsibility. So if you want your refund or if you just want to be accountable with the IRS, and we have to be. I start out with teenagers. And I tried to teach them about how important it is to be accountable with our government as far as doing the taxes. And yes, I love the IRS. I am friends of the IRS and they are friends with me. And as long as you're doing honest work and you're keeping all your paperwork and not trying to just, as the young people say, be shysty or get over. Or I know we all need a break and I know we all want what's ours. But you don't need to cheat and lie or steal to get that. It's all there for you. And I can honestly help people get the right amount and even more than what they were getting before. And just, and I'm probably out of time, but I had a customer come. He flew in every year. And the first year he flew in, and he's come every year to see me from, like, I think it's Virginia. Mm-hmm. And he was one of my favorite customers because of these. But he came in, and I was going through his paperwork, and he didn't have his prior return, so we had to get it from the IRS. And then you could pull it straight from the IRS very easily. And we got it, and I said, okay, well, you got X amount of dollars. And he said, wait a minute. I did. He said, let me check my bank. I didn't get that. So we went back, and I showed him IRS transcript. And, you know, we pulled it up online, and he checked the bank, and he said, but no, I got $500 less than that. And that's a real story. It's not a joke or anything. And he said, but, and then I had to pay them extra because I needed a dependent. He started being honest with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, look, this is what I did when I did your taxes. This is how much you're going to get. He said, I've never gotten that much before. And I said, and we didn't use the dependent because you don't have one. So why illegal to get something that you thought you were supposed to get? But at the end of the day, the tax person that prepared it, they got the extra money. They did all that, and they didn't tell him. I said, so what dependent did you use? I don't know. Did they give you a copy? No. Always, I don't care who you are, whoever does your taxes, I don't care if it's your sister, your mother, your best friend, get a copy. They can email it to you if they don't have a printer. Get a copy. You need to know what your name is going on. And if they put a dependent and say, oh, well, can you carry my child, my sister, my brother? People do that. You need to let them know who it is. And if they can't prove it, if you can't prove that it's really your child or they were living with you, don't claim them. They kind of stopped all that now anyway. Thank goodness. So that was difficult.
So, one of the lessons that I remember as a very young adult, first starting to work, is that a lot of people like to claim their independence right away so that they keep more of their money. And I was taught that go ahead and don't claim anybody. Let them take that extra money out. So when it's time for you to file your taxes, you end up getting it all back. And so as a lesson, what is the lesson that you want people to know? Because I know that you have passion. You are a passionate person. I can tell your aura is just glowing. So tell us what is the lesson you want people to know?
I'm glad you asked, Marvin. That's an excellent question. The rule of thumb is you want to break even. Mm-hmm. It's not about getting money back at the end of the year because tax laws change, unfortunately, every single year. Mm-hmm. So if they gave you credit for this year, guess what? Next year, they might kick that whole thing out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a person that says get your money now,
mm-hmm.
Unless you can afford to wait till later.
Okay.
So if you can afford to claim zero dependents and you're able to get the money back hopefully by the end of the year, then please, by all means, do that. Because one thing you don't want to do is owe.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but if you can't, maybe you're on your budget is already pretty much stretched. Maybe you're a single parent, or maybe you just need all your money. Then go ahead and claim, fill out that formula. And if it says you have four allowances or four dependents, as people used to call them, do that. But in 2020, it was changed. Our wonderful president, mm-hmm. Trump, he changed all of that. So the W-4 is a lot different now. And so it would be to most people's benefit to claim zero, because if not, they take, and this is true, if you claim one or two dependents, they take nothing out. So at the end of the year, more than likely, you're going to owe or you get nothing back.
Wow.
So basically right now, when you fill out a W-4, put zero.
So my next question is, what is the difference between the W-4 and the 1099?
Okay, good question, Mom. You are on this. people who get a 1099, they have to claim it as B.
Okay.
And they take no taxes out.
Okay.
Very seldom do they take out taxes. They don't have to.
Okay.
You're responsible for paying your taxes.
Okay.
So if you are a 1099 recipient, then what you need to do is keep your mileage, keep your gas receipt, keep your mileage, keep your supply receipt, keep all of your food receipt, because you get to write all those things off, your telephone, cell phone, computer, internet.
Mm-hmm.
You get to write all those things off at the end of the year because you receive a 1099, that's considered a business. And I don't care if you're Uber, the cards, whatever it is, or if you're a construction worker and your boss pays you with a 1099, definitely keep your gas receipt, because you have to go to and from those construction sites, whether it's from your home to the job or whatever. Keep everything. But that's the difference. The people who get W-2s, who complete the W-4, those, you know, everything is on there. The taxes, the FICA, everything is on there. I had a comedian say, who is FICA, when they got their first check? But everything is on there. So you don't have to, like, keep receipts unless you are a business owner of some type or you do some type of business. But you kind of, a rule of thumb for most people, they just hang on to their receipts, put them in a folder like this. This is actually, somebody just said, here's my receipt, you know, and these are, and they save them, and guess what? They don't have their own business, they didn't even need them. But they save them because their mom always taught them to save your receipts, put them in a folder, an envelope like that in your car, and that way at the end of the year, if you need them for taxes, and this is a young person, I thought that was remarkable. If you need them for your taxes, then you'll have them. Or if you need them, maybe you need to take something back. I don't know. But you definitely need those receipts. But that's the difference between the 1099 and the W-2 and W-4 people.
So now, in this last year, in 2020, 75% of America was not working, was getting unemployment, for which, you know, they had to survive. So how does that affect their tax season? And what did IRS do to help ease that burden, if any?
They did, Marva, good question again. They did ease the burden. They did help. Unemployment, please, 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 if you ever get unemployment, and I've been telling customers this forever, let them take out tax. I know you want your money. It took a couple of times before people actually understood that, because you have to pay taxes on your unemployment because it's income, and all income is taxed. What the IRS did this year, the government, whoever made that big decision, was excellent. They did not tax the first $10,200. So if, say, you got $17,000, then $10,000, and you took out taxes. They take out 10%, just like tithe. So your taxes on that would have been $1,722. So they took out the taxes. Maybe they took out a little bit more, $2,000 or something. Guess what? You were only taxed on anything over the $1,200. So all of that, maybe they took out $1,000 more than what they should have, got their back this year. So a lot of people, they had to hold it. And some people still don't have their money. God bless them. I understand. That's a struggle. They stood on, but they had to hold on to people's taxes, tax returns, recalculate, either give them the money then, or some of them, they actually, as I'm a witness to it, they actually got their money later, like when they start doing the pandemic money for the child tax. So they said, oh, I got a check. I got something from the IRS deposited for $1,700 or $1,200 or $1,000. I said, yeah, that was your unemployment money. They didn't have time to do your calculation because you filed early. So those people that filed like super early, they got their money back late if they were due a refund.
Okay, so I mean, that just opens up. Like, I have three more questions. All right, so so now, how did the stimulus check affect the taxes? Is that something you have to claim? You have to put on there on your taxes?
Yes, you do put that on there, but it's called a recovery rebate. So they just want to know if you got it.
Okay.
Not, they don't tax that money because technically it's not income.
Okay.
It was a gift.
Okay.
It was a gift you received from the government. Everybody received it. So you don't have to pay taxes on it. And they just ask if you get it and how much you get. You don't pay taxes. It's not added to your income. It's in a totally different slot. It's actually on the back of the tax form, where your refund information. If you did not get it, the first refund, the first stimulus, which is, it was $1,200 if you were an individual, more if you had children, and then the second one was $600, and then the third one was $15, I believe. If you did not get those first two, you could claim them on your 2020 tax return.
Okay.
And I even read if you don't normally file tax and maybe you get disability or Social Security and you did not get, you didn't receive those stimulus, or maybe you get nothing. Maybe you're not a Social Security. Maybe you're homeless.
Mm-hmm.
I even had a couple of homeless people come to me
mm-hmm.
that, and they said, hey, I didn't get the stimulus. What is this about? Guess what? We filed the 2020 taxes just to get the stimulus. They were able to get that $1,800, and they were able to get their money, and they were able to pay me. This is something the government did because, you know, it was our money. They owe it to us. We do a lot for this country, so they needed to do something for us.
I agree with that. Absolutely. So now you talked about the tax credit, but child tax credit. So how did that actually work for individuals, you know, with families? How did that actually work?
Okay, great. If you have children, I want to say it's $250 or $350. I have to look and see, but
mm-hmm.
you get six payments.
Okay.
And so they started in July. And so they got their first payment per child under 17. And it may be 17 and under.
Mm-hmm.
They got that, but a couple of individuals, was able to look at that, and they did receive it, and they will receive that money every month until December, and then it stops. And then the remainder of the child tax credit money, they will receive with their tax refund when they file tax. So it's just a way of getting the money. You can opt out, or you could have.
Uh-huh.
Before July.
Uh-huh.
Some people were like, I don't want my money early. I want to wait for taxes.
Uh-huh.
And you know, if you need it, I tell people, hey, get your money because tax
uh-huh.
laws change every year. What
right.
if they stop giving the tax credit?
Right.
But get it now while they're giving it. I mean, I'm all for that. Get it now while you can.
Wow. Oh, my God. Maria, this has been so enlightening and with so much information. Now tell us a little bit about you. Is this your only location? Are you servicing people all over the country, all over the world? Tell us a little bit about that.
Thank you, Marva. Yes, I'm nationwide. I even had some international customers, but I do all states, all cities, wherever you are. I even have some people that want to attend the tax school and access to that. I don't know if that's going to help them, but they want to go to the school. Oh, well, that's fine. But I'm anywhere. I have customers in New York. I have customers in Washington, D.C., Virginia, California, Oklahoma. A lot of things are done virtually. And you can email, fax, text. You have all types of ways, mail. I have small school people who like to put some hard copies in the mail. I'm located in Dallas, Texas, 3618 South Lancaster Road, Suite A.
Mm-hmm.
In Dallas, in the heart of South Oak Cliff. Oak Cliff,
Woo-hoo.
That's my hood. I graduated from South Oak Cliff High School, so here I am in my neighborhood. And I just love it being here. I get to connect and touch the people and help those in need. So we are here if you need us. Call us. I'm open year round. And someone called and said, my number's on the building.
Uh-huh.
So someone called it and said, you're open. I can't believe you found a tax place open. Oh, yeah. I file taxes year round. So I'm here.
Okay.
And I also do nonprofit filing 501c3. Oh, so I'm here for your needs. And I'm a mother, grandmother, aunt, you know, all those things, and I'm also a minister of the gospel.
That was my final question. When you are not hard at work, filing papers, doing paperwork, teaching, what else are you good at that you do? Tell us about your ministry.
Okay. My church home is ATR, which is After the Resurrection. ATR, Walk by Faith Ministry, Apostle W.C. Traylor Jr. is my pastor. We had 4114 Ramona Avenue in the Cliff. And I've been a minister. I received my first training through Friendship with Pastor Haynes. I graduated from there and also graduated from ATR where I was ordained to work with the ministers. And now I'm the church operations, I'm the minister of church operations. So I'm able to help in all forms of operating the church, helping training of ministers, I work with the young people, with the youth. Of course, I'm a youth, so I like helping to work with those young people. But just wherever I'm needed, I also play the worship leader and, you know, do sermons and write sermons and also write sermons and speech for other people who come to me and say, hey, I need a speech to church, or I need something, and can you help me? Play the piano very little. I have six songs, because I play, they all sound a lot.
Oh, wow.
So in the event of an emergency only, then I can, you know, play a few tunes in the event of emergency. I can do that, and I'm just a blessed woman of God, you know, and take care of my mom, Mother Rachel McGee. She's the mother of her church in New Birth, and she's almost 85. She'll be 85 in September. So I'm blessed to be able to help with her, and she's still mentoring me with everything that I do. So I think that I got it, all of my entrepreneurship and everything that I do. I know I got it from my parents, so
wow.
Especially from her.
You are a boss lady. You are a boss minister, and you gave us so much information today. I told you to get their pens and papers out. So before I let you go, the name of your tax company is called what?
Hughes Networking, the
okay.
Tax Expert.
Okay.
Hughes Networking, the Tax Expert.
Okay.
And for many years, we were just Hughes Networking, and I decided to go ahead and add the Tax Expert. Many people call me Dr. Lockett,
Tell us again what your address is.
3618 South Lancaster Road, Suite A, Dallas 75216, right next door to 7-Eleven, across the street, catacorner with Church's Chicken, on the corner of Lancaster and Overton Road.
I know
not
exactly where
find,
that is.
Not hard to find. The train and everything goes right
yeah.
by. So we're very easy to find, easy to get here. When we're here, you call and 214-962-9506. If you call and I'm not here, I'm 2 minutes away, I can get here. I was blessed, y'all, for real. It's very convenient to my home, very convenient to everything and to my grandchildren, which I do that more than I do anything. But and they know how to do taxes and work here also. They know how to do the paperwork, not necessarily the tax part, but they can file and do all those things.
Wow. Thank you again so much, Maria. You just are a godsend to the For Marvel with Love show, and we appreciate you being on the show today. It has been fun, and I think I even learned a little bit today, too. So that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. When you're learning, you're growing. And so and let us keep learning and keep growing. Thank you again, and I want to have you back if you would like. I would love to have you back, and, you know, maybe we'll just do something fun where you can talk to younger people, because I think if you get this under control, taxes and what you need to do about it at a young age, then by the time you get to be our age, you know, you're going to be good to go, right? All right. Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate you, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Marva.
Thank you. All righty. Bye-bye. All right, y'all. That was pretty awesome. It was really good to talk with Ms. Maria McGee Lockett. She is the tax expert, and her business is Hughes Networking Tax Expert, and she is located at 3618 South Lancaster Road, Suite A in Dallas, Texas. And if you need your taxes done, if you need work, just give her a call at 214-962-9506. Again, so now we are about ready for our next guest. Let me tell you a little bit about her before I invite her in. C. Joy Campbell is a prominent figure in her community through community service and ministry. Born and raised right here in Dallas, Joy went on to college, and she currently holds an undergraduate degree in business marketing from Prairie View A&M University. She has always been inspired by community development, and it was emphasized when she began working in the field of social services and community affairs. She obtained her master's degree in counseling and community development. Joy is also a member of the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. She has worked for Dallas Housing Authority and Child Protective Services. She has a passion to help individuals and families become self-sufficient. She is the current owner of Guiding Minds Ministries, LLC, which is an organization that focuses on rehabilitation of second chance offenders through education. Now, and there's so much more to Mrs. Campbell, and we are going to invite her in. Well, hello, Mrs. Joy. How are you? And welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And I hope you don't mind I call you Miss Joy.
Thank you for having me. Yes, that's fine.
Okay, great. So now you are boss lady too. I said I was going to have these boss ladies on the show today. And look, you are outstanding. So give us a little background about so the first company I understand is your Discovery Place Incorporated. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so your Discovery Place Incorporated, that's our, your Discovery Place Inc. So what we basically do, that's our nonprofit. It's actually under our parent organization, which is Guiding Minds Ministries, LLC. So Guiding Minds is our big entity, and we do a lot of different things under there. And then we have our nonprofit, which is your Discovery Place. So at Guide of Mind, we work with second chance offenders for like an outpatient clinic for substance abuse counseling, and we do teach offender education classes, and we do a lot. We teach anger management, life skills, DWI, drug offender classes. We have substance abuse counseling, we do substance abuse evaluations. We do a lot of different things for the community. We try to help the community get self-sufficient, so we help give the individual and the community resources to help them become self-sufficient. And then under our nonprofit, that's where we just do all the work for the Lord. We don't, let's just say, benefit for that one personally, like a personal gain, but we do it because we do it as a spiritual gain. We work with families, and we try to help them get self-sufficient. So what I recently did was I did a community resource block party, which means I hosted an event, and I had a lot of different people from the community out there that was going to help individuals be able to get self-sufficient. So we had Dallas County out there to help dismiss tickets. And then we also had legal aid out there to help with expungements. And then we also had community court out there to do like community service. I have a lot of different partnerships. Like I partner with Dallas County Community College. I partner with Unlocking Doors. And anything that somebody needs to get self-sufficient, we make sure that we can provide that service to them. We don't want anybody out there struggling and trying to get the purpose and they don't have a way there. We help them get there.
So what is your background? Can you tell us a little bit about you then? What's your background? How did you get here? Because you don't just wake up one morning and say, okay, I think this is what I'm going to do.
let's see. I went to Prairie View. My parents, they do construction for a living. And I grew up in Oak Cliff, and I went to Catholic school, and I grew up in Polk Terrace. And so I was very different from other individuals in my community, especially in my neighborhood, because I went to Catholic school, so I was extremely different from other kids in the neighborhood. And one thing that I learned was I was always different as a child. I always thought differently. I always had a different mindset. And as I got older and I ended up going to college, I went to Prairie View, and Prairie View was an experience, to say, was one of the best places that I could have ever been at that time in my life. And graduating from Prairie View, it allowed me to, let's just say, see the community as a whole. So when I left in 2004 to go to Prairie View, my neighborhood didn't look like the way it looks now. And it kind of hurt my feelings when I came home because I was like, what happened to my thriving neighborhood? You know, I was in a black middle-class neighborhood, and when I came back, it started to deteriorate really fast. I was gone 6 years. And, I mean, the recidivism rate grew, the crime rate grew. the income bracket dropped, and I was like, what's going on with my community? So I went and studied community development, and I interned for HUD, and I had the best supervisor when I was at HUD, and he helped me understand how communities flourish and economic development and how money trickles down to different developments in different parts of the community, different districts get a certain amount of tax dollar money to help the community thrive. But a lot of people don't understand that in the southern sector of Dallas, we don't have the tax bracket money in order for us to get the pool to increase, let's just say, the livelihood of our community, you know, to make it thrive. Like, we don't have a Whole Foods market over here, you know, in South Oak Cliff. And it's because we can't afford it, to be honest. And so we get, like, the lower income, let's just say, marketplaces that want to come and service our population, which is not the best produce in the world. Mm-hmm. And so we're left with the runoff, is what I like to call it. Mm-hmm. And it upset me. Mm-hmm. And so what I was ended up doing was I told God I was going to run for city council.
Mm-hmm.
And I was super excited. I was 25 years old, and I was going to run for city council because I was upset that mm-hmm. this state looked like that. Even though we were thriving, it made me so upset. And I remember one day I was getting ready to meet with a particular pastor. And God told me to not do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
He told me to follow him, and it scared me. You know, I've never really heard God's voice, but
wow.
when you hear him, you move. And,
yeah.
and so, you know, many are called, but few are chosen, and I just had to be obedient. And so when he told me to follow him instead of doing it my way, I mean, I was in the midst of doing it. People were putting money up under me to run for city council, and I was just, I turned it down, everything
okay.
down, and I just followed my purpose with God, and I ended up going back and getting my master's in counseling, working with CPS, and looking at the needs of how generational poverty comes about. I learned that at the Housing Authority, and how when the household is not thriving, how it trickles down and creates these generational curses. I ended up going into ministry school because I wanted to learn how not to just heal somebody mentally, but to heal them spiritually,
mm-hmm.
because if you have no hope and you have no support system, you will forever have God.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know how to tap into that because they're not intimate enough or vulnerable enough with God to even trust him enough to allow him to move into their life, to lead them back to purpose. So when I ended up going back to, I ended up getting sick, and I ended up at home bored on medical leave, and the Lord told me to start the ministry. And I was just like, what am I supposed to be doing, God? And I started teaching a drug class, and before I know it, I wound up with all of this. The Lord told me I was called to go after a generation that no longer knows him. I didn't know he was going to send me right back in the neighborhood I grew up in to work with second-class offenders. And I don't even just work with anybody who wants help and wants to get to purpose. I'm here.
So wow, that's great. There's so much information in that I want you to expound on. So the area of town you're talking about, can you give us like basically an address, basically, so people will know what area you are talking about?
So I'm right now currently, my office is located at 3911 South Lancaster Road, 3100.
Okay.
We're right here in between Overton and Fordham.
Okay.
My office is placed in District 4.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I drive down through that area, through Lancaster Road, where it, from about Keast, well, actually Loop 12. And I remember back in the day, I guess it's probably been 20 years before the railroad, you know, it was really was a thriving community,
yes,
like you said. I mean, they had the Mignon's was down there on the corner,
yes.
and the car wash was there. All of that
and
stuff was there.
The YMCA every summer.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I remember.
You know, what happened? Okay, so explain gentrification. Explain how that community left, what happened in that community.
Well, I believe, to be honest, I think the community left because the kids left. You know how when you grow up in a certain neighborhood and then you start to make a certain amount of money, you start to leave your community and move into a different neighborhood? Well, what happened was those of us that were thriving and those of us that wanted it and those of us that had that drive and that passion who actually had the ability to get up and get out, we got out, but we forgot to come back. And so what was left were the ones who were struggling.
Okay.
And without anybody teaching or exposing them to anything different, they were left without an understanding or with the lack of knowledge of how to even become successful.
Oh, wow.
They were left with what they were given, which was little to nothing. A lot of people say you have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. These individuals weren't even left with bootstraps. You know, and so how are they supposed to pull themselves up when their mothers were addicted to drugs, their grandmothers were addicted to drugs, and they come from poverty, and they come from a lack of education? Where I remember when I was working at the housing authority, I had four generations on my caseload, from the great-grandmother to the grandmother to the mother, and then the daughter.
Wow.
And it was all four generations. And I remember that the first three didn't know how to read.
Oh, wow.
And I was wondering, how can you make it through life, you know? But as I began to mature and the places that the Lord placed me in different positions, he began to show me how learning how to read was not important when you're learning how to survive, when you have to make ends meet and your babies are hungry. Me having two kids of my own, I definitely understand that. I sacrifice everything to make sure that they have.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, these individuals were left with anything. So the tax bracket drops.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a community where you lose tax dollars, you lose economic development. Mm-hmm. So then the companies that are there to help thrive and keep the community going, I mean, if they don't even have some of those jobs to even be a floor manager, you have to at least have a high school diploma. But if the average education level in the community is the 10th grade, why would Target come put a Target over here if you have to have a high school diploma just to even run it?
Ooh, that's a good point. That is an extremely good point. So now, these children, are the families left there in that community, like the grandmothers and the great-grandmothers that own those houses, they're left. And so the ones that got caught up and did not make it out to higher education in that, now you say have become offenders, and they're
not just offenders, but maybe they have lost the push, the drive, the motivation, the support to get out.
Okay.
You know, and maybe they have become comfortable with the lifestyle of living in, let's just say, the riffraff. And I hate to call it like that, but that's what that is.
Living in
criminal thinking it's okay to hang and not get up and strive for more. Thinking it's okay to live under $10 an hour. And I'm fine with that, knowing that I can go make more money, but that means that requires you to do more. So much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get to their purpose because then they are required to actually fulfill that purpose. If the purpose seems to be too low, why would I want to go?
Mm.
Just imagine if everybody,
not just
in my neighborhood, but in the world, was actually living to the purpose that God has called them to do. I truly believe there would be no suffering.
Oh, my God. Now, you just said a mouthful right there. You really did, because that is so true. And I think we are beat up. I think we are really beat up. So once we don't even realize that there's something out there better. We don't.
No.
And so how are you teaching and sharing that with these second chances offenders? How are you helping them?
Well, basically what we do over here, it's not just me. I have a whole team of them.
Right, right.
Extremely powerful. I mean, the Lord selected them by hand, because definitely I would have never known. I mean, they literally came to me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And these ladies and the one gentleman that I have on my team, they love the Lord so much that we take our classes and we incorporate Jesus in them. And some individuals, they get offended, so we incorporate the higher power.
Okay.
But, you know, regardless if you love the higher power or not, God is going to forever love you, even if you don't know him, love him or not, still created you.
Okay.
And so what we do is we teach, like, anger management. You know, I have a lot of people in there that are so upset with circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the actions, but these are the consequences. Like in marijuana intervention, I know that I'm on probation and I know I need to get off, but I don't want to let go of smoking marijuana, because I will feel I don't know how to function without it. Marijuana, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how to live a daily life and deal with emotional ups and downs that just come with everyday routine, because I'm so used to coping with marijuana and I'm so used to functioning and living in that lifestyle that when it's time for me to function in sobriety, I'm frustrated and I'm irritated. And so now I can't handle it. You know, and so we allow people to let go of those strongholds.
Okay.
We teach them how to move past that. Like in life skills, I teach them how to see past their circumstances. So what? Your second chance to send, everybody fails. The Bible says the just man is failed 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all. All it means is you just need to start over again. And if you want to start, we're here to help. And that's what we push. We just motivate. And we push, and I help lead and guide. And all I'm doing is planting seeds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm continuously planting seeds. Some seeds I plant, some seeds I water. Some were in here, and before I know, we're growing seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just thankful to be used.
Oh,
and that's what we do with them. And we help them find stability.
Okay. And so in what ways are you helping them find stability? Because if they're in that community, is that community being supportive as well, or are they forced to have to leave that community and then still come back to you for assistance? Tell us about that.
So basically, in South Oakland, it's not as starving as it used to be. Let's just put it like that. But at the end of the day, we have all type of transportation and resources to get you to a thriving place.
Okay.
And if you want to come back and bring your money back to the neighborhood, the neighborhood needs the tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? They're trying to regentrify. They're regentrifying South Dallas, and they're moving this way towards South Oak Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So why not get ahead of the curve?
Yeah.
You know, why not do something better? Why not come back and buy your neighborhood since you've left your neighborhood, and you come back and you see your neighborhood, and you see all these individuals walking around like, it's okay in South Oak Cliff to walk around and be on the street homeless. It's okay over here.
Mm-hmm.
It was so funny because I went to my banker's office, and his office is off of Preston. You don't see any of that in Highland Park. You don't see people begging on the streets in Highland Park. You don't see individuals out there walking without their mind in Highland Park, making erratic movements in Highland Park. But it's okay over here. I've seen police officers pass by them. So when people want to come and invest in South Oak Cliff, it makes it unattractive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of hurtful because they know that. And, you know, we want to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we provide resources that are a lot of times outside of South Oakland that you have to use public transportation or other transportation to get there. There's not enough thriving resources that can supply and support. The average household in Dallas right now for a one-bedroom is $800. But if you make $10 an hour.
You're barely making the rent.
Barely making rent.
You're right. You're right. So now you say that that you purposely help them to set foundations of change. So in what ways do you do that?
Well, basically what we do is we deal with them mentally. I can't change anybody until we change your mind.
Right.
You know, I can lead a horse to water, but I can't make them change. I can put faith and hope and everything into somebody, but if they don't want it, I can't help you. You know, Jesus went to the well, and there was all those sick people there, but he helped the man, the lame man, who couldn't even get into there. Everybody else could have gotten there, but was just waiting, and they kept missing their turn, but he healed us for one. So I'm only going after the ones who really want it.
Okay.
You know, if you want it, we can help you get there.
Okay.
If you want to change and you want to come off the streets and you're ready and you're tired, then let us help. That's what we're here to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to help the ones who want it. And even if you just want it just a little bit, I'll motivate you so much that before you know, you're in a whole new position. We had one young lady, you know, she's become one of my favorite clients. It was so funny because when she came to me, she was on her second felony. And, you know, she doesn't have a high school, but she's been working at her job since she was 15. And she's been there 23 years. And all she was a manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I asked her, how much money do you think you've made for this organization? She said, they tell us I've made over $1 million for this organization. And I said, and have you recruited at least half of that $1 million? She was like, no. And I said, no, just think about it. Just push yourself to go into another, expose yourself into another. She said, well, I can't, Ms. Jo, I'm a felon. I said, you got this job, but you're a felon. I'm pretty sure you can get another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kept pushing. And then we set goals for her.
Mm-hmm.
And now her goal is to own her own food truck. And do this all because she cooked very well. You know, she ran the Waffle House when she was the only person in there overnight. And it was really crazy because when you turn around and you think about it, you know, now she's at this food truck organization, and she's learning how to run their food truck, and the Lord is training her to prepare her for her own. And she was just a little bit motivated.
Uh-huh.
Because she would just shoot her and push her and to be like, do it. Just do it. Why not?
Just do it.
Why not have the faith to trust the man who has been provided for you all your life?
Hello. And that is true. That is so true. I think that those bad habits that we develop are hard to break, but they say that it takes 21 days to develop a habit. So if you get the negative out and put in the positive, and just do it for 21 days, then it will become a habit to you. Oh my God, that is so awesome. So my next question is, so you have helped, how many people in your neighborhood have come through your organization?
Oh, I started in 2016. We started off in Pleasant Grove, and we've been in South Dakota since 2020, January. Mm-hmm. I think in all, I know we service about maybe 1,000 people per year.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably now, this is going on year 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably about maybe 5,000.
Wow.
Some people I don't even know anymore because I'm not even on the threshold anymore. I'm trying to keep the girl growing.
Okay.
I mean, I still see clients who remember me, and they're like, Miss Joy, you blessed my life. And I'm like, no, you blessed your own life.
Right.
You know, and they're so excited. And some of them I don't remember, but I'm so excited to see them. But when they begin to talk to me, I remember their story immediately.
Oh,
and then I'm going back and I'm asking them, and they're like, you remember me? I'm like, I remember the story.
Uh-huh. So what makes your ministry set apart from a lot that's out there? Because, you know, everybody, that word ministry is been, you know, kind of floating around. And so, but I have a ministry. This is what I do and all that. So what makes you different, Ms. Joy? Because I can see the excitement in your face and the aura around you. So tell us that.
I don't really know what makes us different than the fact that we serve the Lord.
It's
a purpose driven. I don't know what I'm doing, y'all. I'm walking blind. And every time I turn on, the Lord drops another door and I go through it, and then all of a sudden this happens. And all I'm doing is being obedient. And it's hard to be obedient in the midst of the world today. And it's hard to trust God in the midst of COVID. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
It almost knocked us out. But, you know, the Lord got rid of so many enemies in my land that I'm still standing with 4 major organizations that were there 20 years before I even started.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I'm just thankful. I think what sets us apart is that the fact that we love our clients.
Okay.
Like, I've gotten into probation, into it with probation behind my clients.
Okay.
You know, my clients know that when they come to us on Fridays, we hang out, and they come back on Fridays just to hang out. One of our clients told us, well, I'd rather be with y'all than be on the streets. I said, well, yeah, you know, but if you're going to sit in here with us, you need to look for a job. You can't hang out with us.
Okay.
You come in here, you're going to have to come in here with purpose. You know, and we love on them so much that they believe that we're the church.
Okay.
And I told them, I said, you know, you might want to go find your own church home. They're like, no, Miss, you're the closest thing I know. You're one of the realest things I know to God. I said, right now.
Right.
But you need to be the realest thing you need to know. And the realest thing that it is to God. That you know personally, not me.
So now your company, you have a nonprofit and a profit?
Yes, a for profit.
So tell us about that.
And so Guided Minds Ministries LLC, that's our for profit.
Okay.
I was just so excited when I started it, and I just promised God that I would let everybody know that even though it's for profit, I'm ministering. I had to be obedient. And the nonprofit, Your Discovery Place, came about because my mother, she just always wanted it to provide a home for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what her thing when she does construction. She just provides affordable housing for individuals.
Okay.
And she used to always throw the name around Your Discovery Place. So I can do this, and I can do this. So, you know, my mom, she's retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I just picked up her dream.
Okay.
And I just ended up naming my nonprofit Your Discovery Place, Inc. Mm-hmm. And I decided to go after them. Like, that community resource block party was huge. We did an entrepreneurship competition.
Tell us about that, because that was on July 17th, right?
Yes, the block party was.
Yeah. So tell us about that.
It was fun. The community came out. We had a lot of resources for them. We did a black tag drive, snow cones. We had a bounce house. We had a lot of things, people in the community out here. We had a inpatient clinic service out here.
Mm-hmm.
We had Miss Maria Lockett out there doing tax services.
All right.
And we had community court.
Uh-huh.
Doing tickets, of course, helping people get their tickets dismissed. We had Dallas County courts. Actually, the county courts helping people with expungement.
We had Judge Edwards out there supporting our community event. And she's a pleasant lady. Mm-hmm. You know, we had another organization, another behavioral health organization out there. We had so many organizations. We had, I have a list, but right now I can't call them off here. But everybody that came, we appreciate it. We appreciate them supporting us. We did a lot of things to help the community get the resources that they needed to, let's just say, overcome the barriers. A lot of barriers that's in the way of my clients getting self-sufficient is tickets, because mm-hmm. they can get their license. I keep the drug quest that they need to get their license just because they have a drug charge. But if they want to get their license, they can go to get their CDL, and then they can make money on their own. We push entrepreneurship because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just so many no's that I can get before I feel defeated.
Right.
And so if I can avoid the no mm-hmm. by doing it for myself, then why not remove the barrier by just stepping over? God said he'll move a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You have to move a mountain by the faith that you have within yourself.
You know what? You said something that really kind of piqued my interest, because I have been watching some young people, and I'm like, well, why do you don't have a job? Well, I don't have any ID. Mm-hmm. And why you don't have any ID? Well, I had tickets, and so my license was taken away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then they had sense enough to at least have a passport. So that allowed them to. And then all of a sudden, the passport's now expired, or they've lost the passport. So, I mean, what I remember as a young adult is there's three things you have to protect: your driver's license, your Social Security card, and your birth certificate. Those three things you really have to protect. And I'm not. Yeah. So, oh, wow. So you can help them get out of that. Because just like you said, that what's keeping them from a job is ID. And so you can help them get that. Wow, that's awesome.
What I do is I if they just need an ID, then, you know, we just send them back to Dallas County to get their ID.
Okay.
But if they want a driver's license, we teach that DWI, that drug class that they need to know their eligibility so that they can get their license.
Okay. Okay.
And then if they need help, like, getting a ticket, then we send them to community court.
Okay.
And we help them get, especially if it's in Dallas. In Dallas, and we kind of...
Your hands are a little tied. Right.
Yeah, but it's okay because we continue to motivate. You know,
okay.
We can't do it all for you.
No,
There's a barrier. You need to push yourself now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we service a lot of different individuals, and we love on everybody. Everybody gets the same love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like I'm giving you the same love I'm giving somebody else. And so don't get mad if I have to go give the love to somebody else. Now, our clients are jealous of each other.
So now, the last thing I wanted to talk about is, are you going to be able to do more block parties like you did before? Are you going to be doing them again?
Yes. So we decided to do my nonprofit, my board and I decided to do 2 block parties a year.
Okay.
We're going to do one in the summer, and we were thinking about doing one around the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But we are doing the entrepreneurship competition, which we plan on doing quarterly, like every 3 months.
Okay.
And it's just like 2-week workshop that helps people. It's 8-week workshop for 2 months that helps individuals learn the basic skills to own their own business.
Oh.
We have a curriculum that walks them through the process from the business plan all the way to getting your DBA from downtown.
Oh, wow. That is so important.
And so, yeah, so we walk them through that process, and then we throw a competition to see whoever has the best business. And then now we're trying to get money versus,
okay.
you know, partnering with other entities, you couldn't deliver money. You had to give a like resource. But now we want to give money to them, you know, especially right now with COVID.
Yeah.
You know, we're partnering with. So that's what we're doing. And
okay.
we're going to try to do the block party every 6 months.
Oh, so tell us how they can reach you if they need your assistance. You know, they need to be motivated. You are the person to get them motivated.
That's me and my thing. I know. God sent me that team, and then God takes over. What happens in those rooms?
Yes.
Some of our clients.
Yeah.
And so basically, we're located, like we said, right here, Guided Minds Ministries LLC. Guided Minds Educational Programs is our DBA. That's the one that we have on the Dallas County list. We're right here on Lancaster Road at 3911 South Lancaster Road, Suite 100, Dallas, Texas Lexington, 5216 in South Oakland, in between Fordham, Rock Garza, but in between Fordham and Overton. Our telephone number is 214-613-6999. And you can always email us at info@guidingmindsllc.com. And you can always call me at 214-380-9360.
Oh, awesome. Miss Joy, I want you to come back.
This is a blessing.
Oh, man, it's a blessing for me, too, because you answered a lot of questions for people out there because, you know, sometimes they just say, you know, I want to get off this merry-go-round, but I don't know where to jump off at. And you just gave them a place to jump. And thank you for that.
We'll take whoever, however you want to come, whatever you need, you can come. They come high, walking here.
Yeah.
And baby, before you know it, you can't stay too high, too long in the presence of the Lord.
Woo! Okay. So we need to have you back to talk about that because you know how good God is.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Ms. Joy, for being on the show today. We appreciate you. We will be talking, and we want you back. And thanks again.
Thank you.
A wonderfully blessed day, and good luck with everything that you're doing.
Thank you, Ms. Marvin. You too. You be blessed. This was a blessing. I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for your obedience.
Oh, thank you. All right. Peace. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. So that was incredible. That really was. That was incredible because, you know, if you have a record, you know, and you get out finally, nobody really wants to touch you. You don't think that nobody wants to touch you. You don't know what you have. You feel so stripped. You feel stripped from everything you've learned, you know, or even, and you just don't know where to go. Well, this is a place for you to go. Guiding Mind Ministries. And you want to just check her out because she has been really successful with helping people get their lives back, you know. All right, so now I want to talk about my next guest. I'm so excited to talk to her, Ms. Palan Britt. She is, let me just make sure that I don't screw that up any at all. All right. Palan Britt is an experienced financial professional and entrepreneur driven by teaching Main Street individuals, Wall Street concepts. She takes pride in providing the best resources available for everyone to achieve financial success. Now, as an entrepreneur, her goals include providing all with tools and development processes necessary to become business owners and learning to live their best lives in addition to serving others. Ms. Britt has been recognized for her passion to empower the community with financial literacy, her commitment to teaching how to create generational wealth is insurmountable. And I would like to welcome to you, Ms. Britt. I'm going to open up the screen now. Hello, Ms. Britt. How are you?
I am exceptional.
Yes. Yes. What a blessing.
How do I do that, man? Joy, I'm telling you, incredible.
Wasn't that incredible?
Yes. Joy, actually, man, she's doing so much for the community. So I applaud her efforts and her passion as well.
But you have a passion as well. You have a story. You and I briefly talked about that. So let's start out by, won't you share a part of your story with us today? And then we'll just dive into the meats and potatoes of this.
Well, and first of all, I'm like Joy. First of all, I got to give all praises to God. I mean, not him. Guiding this, he has shown up many times in my life, but particularly on this journey. And so what I decided a long time ago, once I found out the secret, I call it the best kept secret in America, generational wealth is something, the tools, the resources, everything are out here. We're just asking the wrong questions. That's my story. And we can only be guided by what we know. And it's amazing, we don't know what we don't know. And once I found out how simple and the journey of which anyone, I don't care how small your means are, but with the knowledge and the encouragement, we can achieve so much. But my story is like anybody else's. I did everything they tell you to do. They tell you to go to school, get a good education so you can get that good job, and you climb the corporate ladder and all of that. And what I found, Ms. Sneed, is that's not true.
it's not the formula to
wealth. It is simply understanding the concept. So simple. It's just amazing to me. But my journey just started financially. I was doing everything they teach us to do. I mean, I'm not married. I have no kids. So they said, purchase your home. It's a check. Check. Mm-hmm. And they tell you to live within your means. Don't spend more than you make.
Mm-hmm.
Check. Mm-hmm. They tell you to save your money. Check, right? And so as I'm going through life, I wasn't living paycheck to paycheck. They say don't, be heavily in debt, don't to be a slave to the lender, right? I mean, all of those I was doing. So I wasn't worried about the lights being turned off. I know a lot of people that they're concerned, right? But we live in a society of spend more than you make. You got to talk about credit, and of course, you got to have good credit, which means you're purchasing things that you really can't afford. That's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so credit cards, generationally now, we have kids that are got their own little private cars to go to McDonald's, and now we're teaching kids how to do credit cards and all that kind of stuff. And when I realized one day, that the degree didn't work because I was a bill collector for over 20 years, and but I made money for that professional, when I put quotes around professional, people have. I took my income all the way up to $58,000 a year with no kids,
mm-hmm.
and like I said, I wasn't in debt, so I was saving. I just thought I was doing well until one day I realized I was never going to be able to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there has to be an end game, mm-hmm. to this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hoping and we're praying and it's like subconsciously we'll worry about that when that time gets here. But the formula is you have to have a period of time that your money has to grow. And so investing, teaching investing, became my passion when I found out we know nothing about money and the simplicity of how it works. Now, we have a lot of gimmicks and a lot of way that they're marketing investments, what you should invest in, but not teaching how investing works. And that's where the knowledge comes in. What is a financial house? What is it supposed to look like? And we're just going through life. And when I found out,
mm-hmm.
15 years ago, I found out,
mm-hmm.
and I just inserted myself in the community, and doing that actually is how I met Joy. It's just amazing how we're not connected, home ownership, and we're buying houses too. Their houses are too big, and now, then we lose in foreclosure and all that. All of that became a passion.
Okay.
And I just realized, let's go. So that's really my story.
Well, that is, and that's a story that I would venture to say that 75% of Black Americans have that same story. I remember my aunt, and I tell you, my aunt was, she was old when I met her, I promise you. I felt like she was a senior citizen when I met her. She had a job. Mm-hmm. She was still working, and she worked every day. She saved her little money. But let me tell you, when she died in 94, the family had to bury her because that was not, and what she taught her son and her grandchildren was basically just, you got that education, get you a good job, and go to work and save your money. But that left her in the same position that she'd always been in. So how are we going to make that change? How are we going to teach? How do you teach the difference?
Oh, my God. Thank you for bringing that up, because now we're going to get to the crust of what I call one of the biggest crusades that I'm on, and that is life insurance.
Okay.
See, my mom and probably our big mamas and our pawpaws, they believed in life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They believed in it. If it came down to eating and the insurance man getting his money, the insurance man got his money. Here's the problem, though. Oh, man, you hit right on it. The foundation of any financial plan is the right kind of life insurance, okay? And so wealthy people understand how to purchase life insurance.
Mm.
See, I teach it. I know how they all work.
Okay.
I know how they all work. So when you ask someone, again, it goes back to that, are we asking the right question? So if we ask people, oh, do you have life insurance? And they say yes. Well, see, a lot of people think, oh, okay, they have life insurance. Wrong. Wealthy people purchase their wealth.
Okay.
So what they do is, in the beginning, when they're young, they have obligations. They have their kids. They have their house. They have their mortgage. They have their bills and all that kind of stuff. You can purchase a lot of life insurance for little or nothing. A person should have, it's to replace an income, mm-hmm. not put them in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you have a husband and wife that are both working, then you have one that's making, say, $50,000 a year. Well, the rule of thumb says you should have 10 to 12 times that salary, that annual salary, which means minimally, they should have on that one person $500,000
okay.
worth of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody dies, here comes the investing side. Then now they have transferred wealth. And if you understand investing, generationally, that family is going to be taken care of.
Okay.
In our community, speaking of, they give us burial. They
okay.
sell it with bells and whistles. And all of that good stuff, and I won't go into that because I mean, my mom, she got ripped off, paid on a policy for over 20-something years. That's how they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a $3,000 policy.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't borrow. See, that's how they sell the bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. She didn't do that. And she had $1,200 after 28 years. She could have put that underneath her mattress. But thank God, by God's grace and his mercy, she believed in saving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew going in, I was power of attorney over her banking. Mm-hmm. See, that's it. We can talk about wills. Let's
yeah.
talk about
okay.
that.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So there's so much that we don't know. And that's the part. It's not, you have a lot of people selling products, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of people selling products, but they're not teaching us.
Mm-hmm.
What our financial house, what are we working toward? And so that's where the passion lies. And as I inserted myself in the community, I was totally embraced by so many agencies and organizations and somewhat branded myself in that nature. But now my thing is about empowerment. See, financial services is an industry that bears six figures and we don't know how to get into it. So I want to be the Yale Town Crier and the Pied Piper of teaching people how to get into this industry. We don't have to beg for jobs anymore. We don't. That's what I love about Joy. See, we're gonna take matters into our own hands. We can create our own economy. See, that's my vision.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't have to beg for jobs. We just have to lock arms and give each other the correct information. Or at least give us the resources we have to know. We have to take control of our own lives. We don't. It shouldn't be politics. It shouldn't be men. Let me tell you, Black America is the most creative we're the most resilient culture on the planet, but we have to recognize it. See, we got 400 years that we got to erase of us being the second when by everything that this country stands for. We're the one.
Mm-hmm.
We're the one. And so that's my vision. That's my passion.
So now as we talk about entrepreneurship, and you believe heavily in entrepreneurship. So what do you start with that? What would you, if you're teaching somebody comes along and says, you know what, I do work, but I want to have my own business. And what I've heard and what I've heard about business is when you're branding a business, when you're doing a business, it needs to have seven different ways to create money of income. So talk to us a little bit about that and how we get there.
Sis, I don't know. Maybe we're just on the same. But thank you for asking that question because I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And what I teach, because I teach entrepreneurship as well, and the basic concept, what people really need to understand is entrepreneurship is a mindset. Now, we can be in business. We can take a pencil and we can sell pencils. And we give a pencil, get a check. Get a pencil, get a check. There's a book by Robert Kiyosaki called The Cash Flow Quadrant. And it breaks down the four ways that we can earn income. And in the left quadrant, right at the top left, he described employees. Well, we know what that is. The company pays the employee and it caps out, and that's what it pays. That's the position, and, you know, that's what it is. And so we're conditioned to do that. But then the next step on that bottom left of the quadrant, we talk about self-employed. That means we're doing the work. That means I have a pencil, I sell it, you give me exchange, and then I go do it again. The more I do it, we got doctors, lawyers, hairstylists, all of that, we're the job. So if I don't work, I don't eat.
Right.
So on that left side, it's a one-to-one ratio. Now let's take a look at the right side of the quadrant. At the top, we talk about business owners. Business owners own a system. McDonald's is a system.
Mm.
You plug people into a system that works without the owner being there.
Mm.
See, and I confused the two.
Okay.
Because I was self-employed for a long time because I was the one in the community. I was the one that was branding, and I talk real if you guys don't get that. I don't try to sugarcoat because it's not that difficult, right? But then on the top side, so that's a business, and I transitioned, so now I just plug people into a system. Right? And so the last one is the investor. So on that right side, you have a business owner that has people running a system, and you have the investment where money is working.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we're free. But mm-hmm. let me tell you, my sister, when you start out in a business, you have to come as a clean slate. All of the preconditioned beliefs, we have to come like a child. That's my story because nothing in business correlates because I've never experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to come as a child. Find someone who's done it. Submit. Ooh, there's a word. Submit. Because they've done it. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. What Joy does, if I wanted to do what Joy did, I have to listen to Joy.
Right.
I have to put all my preconceived ideas to the side and say, I don't know anything. That's the catch.
And it is a big catch. And it is. It is a big catch because that submission right there, you just lost half of your, you just lost half the class. Submit me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness.
So, sis, if we can adapt to the submission and the idea that we have to get better. I had to do a lot of self-discovery.
Right.
And so I focused a lot on that in the beginning because the skill part is the easy part.
Okay.
It is the submission and it is belief that something somebody knows. Wealthy people don't operate the same way. They're on a, their vision is so high, and that would be the other part of that too. You've got to have a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Wealthy people don't work for money.
Right.
I know that sounds strange, but you, if we can, first of all, we got to believe that everybody's not out here trying to get you. If you put God first, I tell my team this all the time, if you put God first, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
That's one of my favorite verses.
I have t-shirts.
Oh, wow.
Just say that. You don't have to be afraid. If you wanted to share with me and you tell me, here's the other thing, freedom ain't free.
Oh, no, ma'am. It's the cost to it.
There's a cost to it. What are we willing to sacrifice? And so when people hear freedom ain't free, they all automatically, most oftentimes, think money.
Mm-hmm.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. So what are you willing to sacrifice? Because there's a price that has to be paid.
Exactly.
There's no discount. You've got to follow the process. And that process is part of it. Is you getting better.
Mm-hmm.
I had to. I promise you, I'm not the same person I was 6 months ago. And I've been working on me a long time.
See, what I wonder is that thing that get a job, get a good education, get a job, was thrown down our throats. And I'm talking about black and brown people, because they knew they had to start somewhere. They knew they had gotten to the point where they knew these people ain't going to believe much we got to say now, because we have wrecked their lives. We have wrecked their generation, a generation, several generations of their people. So now what are we going to do? So first of all, we're going to offer them a little education. So we're going to offer them, we're going to teach them, let them know it's okay. Now y'all can learn how to read and write and arithmetic. And then we're going to offer them the lowest jobs we can find. We're going to start paying for the stuff that we have used them as slaves for 200 years. Now we're going to pay them for that. And then we're going to tell them, save their little money. But we're not going to introduce them to anything grand. We're not going to introduce them to saving, having generational wealth, buying property. We got land, this land all over this country, but how much of it do we own? So we're only going to give them a little bit. And so I think that's what happened. I think that's why we ended up graduating from high school. Some of us got to go to college. And then we got that good job. We got to work for the government, the post office. We got to work for, the phone company, the electric company, the gas company. You know, we got to work for those jobs and do that, but we did not learn anything else. And you mentioned earlier, I love what you said. You said, white people, they use life insurance as an investment for their lives. So if we lose this source of income, then my family is going to be able to survive because I made sure of that. So talk about that, and what are your goals of teaching this financial literacy?
I just absolutely love you, first of all. I don't know if I don't know, right? I don't know. You're just asking all right questions, so let me give God all honor and praise for that. But, you're right. And I have to admit, what happens is, 2% of the country is who controls the 98% of the spending. And so when I learned the concept and how it is designed for America, to know, particularly us, you know, we're always reactive. But when I discovered it's not the job, it's the money that you have to learn how to make your money make money, in other words. And so it wasn't the degrees, it wasn't any of that, it was the money, how do you make it grow? And so, like I said, if you have a foundation of understanding life insurance, okay, and let me say this, there's a lot of insurance salespeople out there, they're probably gonna hate me, but I'm telling the truth, I'm exposing the nightmare. I hold an investment license, okay?
Okay.
And so it doesn't take degrees and all that to get an investment license, let me say that.
Okay.
See, if we understand and share information and understand that everybody's not trying to get you, I want everybody to understand that at some point in time, we have to use common sense. Right? It's a lot of crap out here. It is. It's a, you're going to get rich in 2 days and be a millionaire in 48 hours. And it doesn't work that way. So let me say that. But the understanding and getting the education of what life insurance is meant to do, then that's how they're transferring wealth. That's how they're transferring wealth. But you've got to understand how investing works in order to capitalize on this big money that you get, you know, $500,000, $200,000, whatever. How do you continue on and generationally capitalize from that? And part of that is the entrepreneurship piece, because a lot of businesses have been formed from that. Thank God, Master P, that $10,000 policy he was left turned into a multi-million dollar conglomerate.
Wow.
But see, he understood this is what I need, but it all started with a vision because he knew what he wanted to do. And if I can't encourage anybody, you got to have a dream. See, this working every day and the kids got to go to bed and that same rote routine, it's designed to keep you distracted.
Yes.
Back to the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
What are you willing to do differently? Mm-hmm. Success isn't convenient.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't
come cool. I like that. That's a tweetable moment right there. Success is not inconvenient. It's not convenient. You got that right.
I mean, it's not convenient.
Because that requires, I think the definition should change, don't you? I think the definition should say success means you've got to do something. You've got to work. You've got to do something.
Faith without works is dead.
Exactly.
Some of us are praying. We're praying, and he does answer.
Right.
But he's waiting on us to move. We got to move.
We got to move. We've got to move. So what is
we can't stay in the same place.
What is one of the first things you would say to a person who says, you know what? I want to have generational wealth for my family. I have a son that's 32 years old. He's got two kids that are under 12. So he wants to make sure that his kids have money. He does not want to fall in the same predicament that so many of his family has done. So what is the first thing you would tell him?
The first thing I would do, and thank you, because it's all individual.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of people would say, well, I would tell them to do this and these general blanket things. Mm-hmm. The first thing I would ask him is, what do you want your life to look like when it's no longer about the money?
Mm-hmm. Hello, when it's no longer, I like that. He said, what do you want your life to look like when it's no longer about the money? Wow.
Let's start there. Yeah, because you got to have a vision. If it's, how much do you want coming in?
Okay.
And you don't have to work for it.
Okay.
Because see, that's retirement. Retirement isn't 67 and 70.
Okay.
Retirement is, if it's $5,000 a month you want,
uh-huh.
right?
Uh-huh.
Then let's formulate a plan. plan within, when would you like to stop working?
Okay.
He's 32.
Uh-huh.
So what if he said 45?
Okay.
Now I'm going to sit down and I'm going to give him the amount, because I specifically give
mm-hmm.
you an amount.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have 5,000 coming in, that's
mm-hmm.
60,000 a year
mm-hmm.
with no hiccups, no matter what, and be insured
mm-hmm.
at 45, you're never going to run out of money because
mm-hmm.
you got at least 40 more years to live
mm-hmm.
statistically.
Yeah, okay.
And the question becomes, it would probably be, it's 5%, it would have to be at least, at the very least, $1.2 million.
Okay.
So how do we get $1.2 million
okay.
in that period of time? See, we got to start with the end in mind and work our way, our plan backwards.
Wow. And it is an individual basis. It is, there is no blanket. There is no blanket cure for everything,
no.
for everyone,
no.
because we
no.
are all on different levels at different times in our lives. So let me ask you another question. I have this question in mind about older people who said, you know what, I have worked. I am now 55, and it ain't as easy to get that life insurance as it was when I was 25.
Right.
And so what, and I know you can't give me exact, but how does that person that's 55 say, you know what, I might only have 30 more years here, so if that's all I got, then I need to make the best of that. So how would you help them? How does that work?
And again, depending, here's another thing.
Okay.
Thank you for asking about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Health pays for life insurance. It's not money.
Okay. Health pays for life insurance.
You could be 30 and
oh.
be uninsurable.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
Now, here's the other part of this. You said 55 and we have
uh-huh.
a good 25 years left,
yeah.
let's say, right?
Yeah.
Depending. What's this? Do you know the funeral home take a check? Let's talk about how do we invest? How do we get some money?
Okay.
You know, the funeral home will take a check. Forget about that.
Yes.
You don't need life insurance all your life. If you got $1 million,
uh-huh.
you know the funeral home will take a check.
Uh-huh. Wow.
It's just money. So if you got $500,000, Ms. Marva, write a check.
Write a check.
I wrote a check for my mother when she left this earth.
Oh, wow.
She saved her money.
Okay.
She saved her, and she had a messed up insurance policy
okay.
because they believed, she believed in it. But
so
she didn't know any different.
Is that life insurance affordable for a 55-year-old person in good health?
Of course it is.
Okay.
Is.
You know, because that, you know, we're, like you said, there's a lot of insurance agents out here that are giving some bad information, because that right there is what, in my mind, I was like, well, I'm 62, so if I want a life insurance policy, they're going to charge me an arm and a leg, and I don't have it.
Holla. Holla.
Wow.
Everything starts with a plan. See, we don't plan to fail. We just fail to plan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
I
like that. I've heard that before. I like that. We failed to plan.
My life's mission is to remove the I didn't know.
Okay.
Because that's my story.
Okay.
I just didn't know.
Okay.
I've been working since I was 14 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I promise you, if I knew about investing what I know now, sis, I'd be stone cold wealthy.
Okay, so that just
that
brings me to my last question before we have to go here is, how young do you need to be, or should you, at what age should you start to with your investment plan? When do you start making this plan for your future?
Well, and that's excellent. Now, what I do, because we're talking generational, I start with the parents.
Okay.
See, If we begin to educate the parents, well, then now we can educate our children at an early age. When I got out here, I had a lot of schools that asked if I would come and speak to the kids about money and financial literacy and all that kind of stuff. And I think you can't be too young to get the knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I told them, I said, I don't want to talk to the kids without talking to the parents. One of my choir members was a principal in the school, and he said, we teach budgeting and all that. He said, but when they go home, the parents are the ones that are down, because
yeah.
they're saying that's not real life,
mm-hmm.
and that stuff don't work, because look at us. And so now we've got another generation of disillusioned children. And so I want to start with the parent. I do financial literacy workshops almost every day.
Okay.
And so I want to be a force. I want us to be an army out here giving this information. I want to empower the public. I want to empower the world. So anybody can give me a call.
Okay.
I'm like a Glock. I'm loaded 24/7.
Well, tell us how we can reach you, Ms. Britt.
They can call me. It's anywhere at 877-521-0009. Just give me a call, and then they can definitely, I'm serious about this, getting a cell phone number.
Mm-hmm.
It is 214-244-2703. And during this COVID period, I'm just setting appointments by appointment. My office is right here at 8585 North Simmons Freeway, Suite 134M, Dallas, Texas 75247. And but let's have a conversation about career change. You know, there's a great migration of people because of COVID. They hate their careers. They don't want to come out, you know, working from home, and they just realize now we have to live our life on purpose with a purpose.
Oh.
And purpose is a big thing now.
Yes, it is.
Really, yeah, they realize we could go tomorrow, and I'm not living my purpose.
Right.
And so this became my purpose. So if you don't have a purpose yet, come latch on to mine till you find one, because we need you.
Wow. Mrs. Britt, you got to come back, because there's so much more. There's so much more to this and teaching what you teach, because, like you said, you didn't know. And so we can't make a change in our lives until we know what we don't know. And so as soon as we know what we don't know, then we can put a plan of action, because you said it's better to plan and to not plan. You know, so if you expect something to happen differently, you got to plan for it to happen. You got to put something in motion. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Thank you so
Thank
very much.
Thank you for
much.
Having me. Call me anytime, sis. Okay. Anytime, day or night. I just want to thank you guys for the privilege and the honor. I'm so humbled to be on the show. Anytime anybody asks me to talk about this, it's such a humbling spirit. So thank you so, so much for reaching out and giving me the opportunity.
Well, you are so welcome, and we appreciate you. We really do, and we want you back. So enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I will be putting your name and number and how they can reach you up and say, you know what, you want to create some generational wealth, then you need to go see Mrs.
Absolutely.
Britt. So thank you again.
Thank you.
You're
thank
so
you.
Welcome.
And
All
have
right.
a fantastic day.
All right. I will. You do the same. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
All right.
So that was pretty awesome. That was another awesome interview. And the reason why I say this, I know people are like, so Marva, you're easily excitable. You always say awesome. But there were some things we unpacked today about generational wealth that a lot of people just don't know. And, you know, I bet if I see, what is it? The name of that? Liberty Mutual Life Insurance. If I see one commercial a day, I promise you it's about 15. And they always talk about life insurance. They always talk about, but mainly it's burial insurance. you know, and, oh, you don't have to take any medical. You don't have to do this. But you know what? It's not the investment wheel. It's not the investment wheel. So, I mean, that was awesome. That really was. And so I learned something today. And I hope that you guys learned something today as well. And as I close and get to the end of the show today, this has been really, really good. So share this video. Share this with your friends and your family. It's going to be on our Texas Metro News page in the video section for Marvel with Love today, 2021. So share it with your friends and family. And if you want to know what's going on in our community, I encourage you to go to our Texas Metro News website. That's www.texasmetronews.com. Check out our paper. Check it out. And we also love to have you on our daily e-blast list. And all you have to do is go to editor@texasmetronews.com. That's editor@texasmetronews.com. And put your email address in there. We will add you to the list, our e-blast, and you will get it every single day. Now, Texas Metro News is a weekly publication. It hits the streets with Thursdays. And on Thursdays, you'll find it in some local restaurants throughout the DFW Metroplex. You will also find it now that the libraries are open. We'll be back in libraries and some churches as well. Also, Garland Journal is our second publication, and it is a bi-monthly publication. It's out on the first and the third Thursdays of every month, and you will see it sitting right next to our Texas Metro News. Also, we have iMessenger, which is an online digital magazine, and that is up on Fridays, and you can go to www.iMessenger.com. That's www.iMessenger.com, and check that out on Fridays. Their stories are wonderful. We have press releases. If you want to know what's happening in your community, you want to follow us. You want to check us out. iMessenger Media is the umbrella company for Texas Metro News, Garland Journal, and iMessenger. We have several blog talk shows. On Wednesdays, we have Ms. Norma Adams-Wade, and she is from 11 a.m. to 1. And then on Thursdays, we have Ms. Deborah Brown Stearns, and she is at 7 p.m. in the evening. And then on Fridays, we have me, Marvel, from Marvel with Love, and I'm from 11 to 1. On Sundays, we have Andrew Wiggum, The World According to Drew, and he's on Sunday mornings, and you'll have to get him on our blog talk, which is 646-200-0459, and he is up early, 8 a.m. He's from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And for more information on that, just contact us here at the office at 941-241-0110. And we are going to leave with one of my favorite songs by Mary J. Blige. And, you know, I love her, and I'm just fine. So we are doing just fine. And to God be the glory. God be the glory and joy. Thank you so much for tuning in today.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me wanna
let it go. Can't let this thing called love get away from you. Feel free right now, go do what you wanna do. Can't let nobody take it away from you, from me.
walking past the mirror. Don't stress through the night at a time in my life. Ain't worried about if you feel it. Got my head on straight, I got my vibe right. I ain't gonna let you kill it. My lady, so I must stay classy. Gotta keep it hot, keep it together.